You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are, on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. And yes, indeed, we're talking some fantasy football on the program today with the Tony Cincata. We'll talk some wild card DFS. I'm already crunching the numbers, trying to put together a lineup. We'll try to end strong. Nobody remembers where you started, man. It's all about where you finished. And it's NFL Wild Card Weekend, baby. We're breaking it down. We're going to get a million expert opinions throughout the week, different opinions on these football games. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence, joins us on the show today. The Tony Cincata, as I mentioned. And, of course, we're going to talk some basketball this evening. Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers renew their rivalry. And this rivalry is going to be freaking intense, man, if they play each other in the playoffs, which I hope that they don't, to be honest with you, because if they play each other in the playoffs, it probably means that my Toronto Raptors got bounced. Raptors in action tonight against the Chicago Bulls, and I hate betting against the Raptors, but I think Chicago Bulls are in a pretty good spot here this evening. So we'll talk some basketball with Pete Yiannopoulos, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. RDS television analyst Pete Yiannopoulos will step up, and then Mark Lawrence and the Tony Cincata. So as you can tell, we got a great show put together. It's all about the NFL right now, okay? We're basically only going to talk about football with a couple of basketball games on the board. We got the college championship on Monday. But let's be real, it's all about the NFL right now. We only have the NFL for about another month or so, and then we'll have a lot of time to talk about college basketball, all right? I can't wait, though, for the NBA playoffs. I haven't really jumped into the college basketball season yet this year. There's so many teams in college basketball. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm too busy. I'm in studios all day long. You need, like, multiple hours to cap college basketball. Now, you know, we did pretty good last night, actually, and we'll start to put more hours in. But I've got football fever right now, and I think I've diversified my portfolios a little bit too much. You know, I'm kind of focusing in right now, man. I'm just trying to figure out, all right, where am I really going to step up and pull the trigger this week? And I'm really liking the Atlanta Falcons on the money line, guys. You know, I think the Falcons are going to beat the Rams outright. You know, my Buffalo Bills, I'm not sure if the Bills are going to win outright. I think they can win outright. I'm not sure if they will. But getting 10 points, and people are in a panic right now because LeSean McCoy is not practicing. To quote Allen Iverson, practice? We talking about practice? Come on, man. Anyone really think LeSean McCoy was going to? Even LeSean McCoy was 100% healthy right now. You think he's going to practice today? Why would he practice? Well, he doesn't know the playbook? Oh, no, Kyle Williams isn't practicing today. Lorenzo Alexander isn't practicing today for the Bills either. Yeah, it's called giving them rest. You know, LeSean McCoy's ankle will be fine. He's just, you know, it'd be stupid for him to do anything before Sunday. Do I think that LeSean McCoy is going to play? Yes. Do I think he'll play well? Yes. Do I think he'll survive the entire game? No. That's the way I think that's going to go. All right, so let's jump in right now. NFL wildcard weekend is here. But the teams that didn't make the playoffs are starting to put it together already for next year. And I'll never forget, this is what makes Bill Belichick so good. When Bill Belichick was asked after the Patriots came back from the 28-3 victory last year in the Super Bowl, he said, "Coach, what are you thinking right now?" And this is at the press conference after, like moments after the game. I said, "Coach, what are you thinking about right now? How does it feel?" He goes, "Actually, it doesn't feel very good. I'm thinking about how we're 6 weeks behind the rest of the league when it comes to preparing for next year and the draft." So the next year preparations have already started. It's go time right now. And we've got quite a few coaching positions available in the National Football League. Chuck Pagano, gone. Chuck Pagano, he had to go. Listen, the players played hard for him, but he really didn't bring anything to the table. There was no adjustments. There was no next level with Chuck Pagano. They really weren't going anywhere. Andrew Luck has actually regressed. They were better when Bruce Arians was their coach. And you know, can you imagine now that Chuck Pagano's out, if Arians pops back up in Indianapolis, it would make sense, wouldn't it? I don't like the way Arians handle things on the way out here, in which, now listen, whatever. I'm a big Arians fan. Maybe I'm a little bitter. I lost some money on Arizona over the last couple of years. I don't think Arians is as good as he thinks he is, but I think Arians is better than most coaches are in the National Football League still. But that's not saying much. Sort of like the quarterback play, you know what I mean? Arians isn't an idiot. I'll give him that. I'll give you that. It's like you're not an idiot. You're not a horrible coach. But yeah, so Pagano's out. The Colts are the Colts a really desirable job? Andrew Luck, his shoulder. You know, the Colts do have some talent, though. It's a decent situation. It's a winnable division. So the Colts are somewhat of a decent job. The Arizona Cardinals, it's a bad job. They don't even have a quarterback on a roster right now. Arians didn't leave them in a good spot. And my whole deal with Arians is we all knew that Arians was stepping down or getting pushed out or was a mutual or whatever. And, you know, so they said, oh, it's going to be Arians' last game. And he got all mad, said it's fake news, the media doesn't know anything and all that crap. And then, you know, 4 days later he retires. Well, or has he retired? That'll be the question. A lot of palace intrigue going on here. But Arizona's not a great job right now. They don't have a quarterback. They're an aging team. They do have some talent, but it's not the best job. John Fox out with Chicago. Pretty good job, Chicago. You know, you've got a young GM, though, that's kind of, you know, doesn't really know what the hell he's doing, to be honest with you, and the Ryan Pace dude. But it is a traditional program, you know, big-time brand. It's a tough division that you're in with the Vikings and the Packers, though, and the Lions. You do have Mitch Trubisky, so if you like Trubisky and you're a coach, not a horrible job. Cincinnati Bengals, sort of like the Colts job. It's a job. You know, there's some talent there. It's a job, but it turns out Marvin Lewis gets the job. Which, you know, I'm wearing a Bengals jersey right now, and there's a lot of Bengal love from Buffalo Bill Mafia as of late, but I don't know. It's kind of a strange move bringing Lewis back, and now we're going to bring Dalton back as well. I can live with Lewis coming back more so than Dalton, and even though Dalton's a great kid that saved the Buffalo Bills' ass, fact of the matter is, it's weird with the Bengals. The Bengals don't suck. They had a ton of injuries this year, but the Dolphins are the same team every year under this regime, right? Which leads me into the Raiders. So the Raiders, Jack Del Rio basically says that they're push me out. Jack Del Rio's out. Gruden's not denying it. It's real. Chucky's back, baby. Chucky's back. And I find it interesting right now that a lot of people in the media, I guess it's jealousy. Maybe Gruden wasn't nice to them. Maybe he's a competitor, etc. But I'm noticing a lot of the mainstream media hacks are actually writing pretty negative articles about John Gruden. And, you know, saying that John Gruden's just an average coach. Well, I don't know. John Gruden took the Raiders to what? The AFC Conference Championship game? He won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So let's look at John Gruden's numbers a little bit here. 95-81. 95-81 as a head coach overall. That's in 11 seasons in regular season. 5-4 in the playoffs. 38-26 with the Raiders. 2-2 in the playoffs. 57-55 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 3-2 in the playoffs. Is he a perfect coach? No. But is he a better coach than Jack Del Rio? Hell yeah. And, you know, the Raiders were in a similar situation in which they needed to shake things up. And I think that Gruden is the perfect coach. And out of all the teams that we just mentioned, the Colts, the Cardinals, the Bears, the Bengals, the Raiders. Mularkey's going to get fired in Tennessee. That's not a bad job with all the talent that they have. But the Raiders is clearly the sexiest and the best job available. And they got the sexiest and best guy available for this job. And when I say sexy, I don't mean his looks. Although, I'm not that fragile enough that, oh, did you just call him sexy? I meant a sexy hire. he's not an ugly man. Kind of looks like Chucky the doll, you know. But anyway, so you got the Raiders. Yeah, listen, Raider Nation loves them. They need some goodwill there. People in Oakland aren't happy with them. They're leaving. Plus, if Gruden hangs around a couple of years, is there a better coach than John Gruden, man, going into Las Vegas with the Raiders? And the thing about Gruden is he's on top of the league still. He's 54 years old right now, which isn't old for a coach. He still relates with the players because he's very enthusiastic. Come on, he's like he's 24 or something like that, his personality. He's been around the players in the league, man, team meetings, quarterbacks. He's broken down tape for Monday Night Football. He's got his quarterback camps, his quarterback sessions in which he breaks down the prospects. So Gruden still has his hands on top of the league right now. It's not as if, though, you're pulling some guy out of retirement that doesn't know what the hell's going on anymore. I give two thumbs up, and I say welcome back, Chucky. Hey, the NFL is a better place if John Gruden's in it. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's cut the small talk. I want to get to our guests as much as I can. Tony Sincotta will join us. We'll hit the wild card from a fantasy perspective. DraftKings. I've already spent a couple hours breaking these numbers down. Do we have a couple of sleepers on the board? We'll find out from one of the best in the business, Tony Sincotta. Former UMass Minutemen assistant coach, RDS basketball television analyst Pete Annapolis will join us. We'll squeeze in a little hoop talk, but let's talk football, baby, with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. The midweek newsletter is now available, full of news, information, picks, notes, and trends for the four wildcard games and the national championship college football game Monday night from Atlanta. But let's start off with the wildcard. Love the wildcard weekend, Mark. I mean, you know, you go way back, you're a big football fan. Something special about Wild Card Weekend. It's lost a little bit of its luster over the years. We've had a lot of sort of boring Houston Texan KC type of games. But growing up for me in the 80s and stuff, you know, there were some great Wild Card games. Wild Card Weekend is, you know, where the fun used to be.
I agree with you, Gabe. It's exciting football games, the wild card, because we don't have the cream of the cream, per se. Only four wild card teams have ever gone on to win the Super Bowl, so we're not likely to see a Super Bowl winner out of the teams playing this weekend, but nonetheless, they are exciting football games.
All right, so let's start off with the Titans and the Chiefs. Chiefs up to 9 points right now. Now, I read the midweek newsletter, Mark, and great work, but I didn't like what I read. I'm like the president. I didn't like the Daily Brief. You know what I mean? I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, the New York Times, what do they know? Like, it's one of those deals. Just because I was in disagreement, I was hoping that your numbers would back me up a little bit, but they didn't for the most part. But let's start off with the Titans and the Chiefs. This is the game that people seem to be discounting the dog. I mean, I've heard some people make an argument for the Bills. I don't really hear anybody making an argument for the Titans in this game.
No, it's really, really difficult to find Titan backers out there. They were not impressive this year. In fact, most people wonder how they're even in the playoffs, but nonetheless, they are. It's Kansas City that's got this personality that you don't know what you're going to get, this yo-yo personality. They either play good or they just stink up the joint. They've been pretty good coming down the stretch here right now. They've won and covered four games in a row going into the playoffs, but my goodness, they just lay eggs in the playoffs, 1-10. Straight up in ATS, their last 11 playoff games.
And you know, and when it's up to 9 points right now, Mark, that back door, man, is swinging wide open. You know, it's like the wind's blowing and the door, it's like it's off its hinges. You know, you're laying 9 points. You're up by 16 points. Boom. Mariota scores a garbage touchdown with 3 minutes left, and they go for two, and you lose. You know, it's a close shave, Mark, with laying the points with KC here.
Well, it's because you can make cases for both sides here, Gabe. You're talking about a Tennessee team that has not fared well on the road this year. They're just 2-7 their last 9 road games, if you will. Mariota's he stinks off of a win. He's very seldom puts two good games in a row together here. But what you've got in Kansas City here, if you like angles, is the fact that they bombed out of the playoffs as a favorite last year. And teams who do that lose as a favorite and open up at home the next year have been awesome in the NFL playoffs. That supports Kansas City in this football game. But you've got that ugly playoff stat I told you about. You got Andy Reid at home against the AFC South. He's 1-10 to the spread. He stinks up the joint as well. Cases both sides of this football game here. You can go either way. I'm not going to touch the game because you can make cases, as I say, for both sides of the game.
I'm going to take the public way out on this, and I'll probably have the Kansas City Chiefs in a teaser. I don't think they're going to lose the game, but I think Tennessee can hang around. One thing that's interesting about Tennessee, I think they'll be making a coaching change. They lose this game, I think Malarkey's out. There's a lot of reports they want to get Josh McDaniels in their ASAP before they lose him to somebody else. They're not happy with Malarkey. They think Mariota's lack of development is on him. But with that being stated, Tennessee are sort of built for the playoffs, aren't they, Mark? you know, smash mouth running game, mobile quarterback. You know, their defense isn't great. That's sort of a problem. But when you're getting, you know, when you're getting points like this, it's not out of the realm of possibility, man, that Derrick Henry rushes for 138 yards or something and they chew the clock up, Mark.
Well, if he rushes for over 100 yards, it sets up Mariota in the football game unquestionably. And as you said, I think the key point in the contest is the back door being wide open, even down the stretch in the end, because Mariota will pass the football, can pass the football, and it does keep them in the football game, tentatively make them the live dog. But what I don't like in this football contest is that awesome stat I told you about losing as a favorite last year.
All right, so let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons and the Rams. I'm having a hard time fully buying into the Rams in a playoff spot here, Mark. I know there's a lot of negative numbers as far as the Falcons are concerned, but as far as the database of the Falcons, they had a Super Bowl hangover, Mark, but like I said the other day, they drank a lot of Gatorade, water, they took a couple of naps, and they shook the hungover off. Like, it looked like, yeah, that hangover, they're not getting out of bed. But no, here they are. They fought through it, Mark. 10-6. Pretty impressive. I'm actually impressed. And I'm higher on the Falcons than a lot of people are in this game, considering a number open at 4 and it's sitting at 6.5 now.
Well, I can understand why you are, Gabe, because you've got an experienced quarterback in Matt Ryan against a virtual rookie here in Jared Goff.
And what big game even at Cal? I was talking about this and wondering out loud. Maybe you know. Wasn't he like a 6-win quarterback at Cal, 7 wins? Like, what big game did Goff ever win in his life?
Never any. In fact, he still hasn't really won a big game per se. Yes, they're in the playoffs here, but now he has to prove his worth in this football game here. This is the Rams' first playoff game in Los Angeles all the way back to 1985, so they'll be pumped up there. But the stat in the football game that gets me here is straight up winners in wild card games. Favorites who win straight up 61-14
wow,
to the spread. So if you like Atlanta here, you'd better hope they're going to win this football game, because those favorites have really cashed the tickets if they've done just that. The other side supporting the Rams in this game is the fact that they're coming in here off a home loss, and that's been a great role for teams 10-4 straight up in ATS in wild card games.
I find it interesting you just stated, so 61% of the time the favorite has covered.
No, the favorite is covered 81% of the time when they're the favorite and they win the football game.
Okay, yeah, favorite and yes, win the football game. So it's interesting you say that, because I almost get a feeling, and I got a tweet from someone this morning, and they said, Moradzi, I like your Buffalo Bills this week, but I get the feeling I'm taking the money line because they'll either win or get blown out. And I almost get that feeling, too, about this game. And I'm almost feeling the same thing with the Falcons. I'm looking at the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Bills more so on the money line, because if they lose, I could see them losing. I mean, the Bills could lose by 10. The Bills could lose 24-3 or 24-6, but they could also win 16-12, Mark. What do you think about it? We talk about this all the time, about the point spread not really meaning anything in the Super Bowl, but that's translated into the regular season in the last 2 years as well.
Well, they're in the course of the wild card games, Gabe, there have been 52 dogs that have won straight up since 1980. That's a pretty strong number. And in fact, if you just disregard this point spread, straight up winners wild card games, 113-14 to the spread. That includes the underdogs who pull the upsets. Now, in the Atlanta Falcons here, what you've got statistically is, number one, a top 10 ranked offense and a top 10 ranked defense.
That's a great combo to make in the playoffs.
Now, last year, there was only one team in the playoffs that had just
the Patriots, right?
The Patriots.
Exactly
right. Exactly right. So you've got that for Atlanta, and you've also got for Atlanta the better offense and the better defense because of all that and the experience. The other side of the coin here, I'm going to give you a great stat here, is that first-year quarterbacks in the National Football League playoffs, quarterbacks making their first ever start in the playoffs, okay, 11-27 straight up, 11-26-1 to the spread.
Wow.
It does not bode well for Jared Goff in this football game. The big, huge experience card has to go to Matty Ryan.
I'm going to sit here all day and listen to your numbers, Mark. Unbelievable. 52. So 52 wild card underdog wins since 1980. And what is 11-27 the quarterbacks? 11-27?
Yeah, making their first start ever in a playoffs. They're 11-27 straight up. And 11-26-1 to the spread. So if you're going to back a first-year playoff quarterback or a quarterback for the first time ever, you better make sure you're either beating one who's a virgin like he is, or you better have a lot of good reasons.
All right, here's one from the Morency database. The Buffalo Bills haven't won a playoff game since Bill Clinton was president.
Yeah, they were last seeing rolling cigars at that time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. There was the blue dresses that were in vogue in those days.
They were in vogue, yes.
Circling
the
blue dress.
Yes.
That's fascinating. So it's funny because I haven't seen you, and I can't wait to really crunch some of your more numbers here. But off the top of my head, Mark, don't teams and in college and bowl, same thing. And it was an exception with New Mexico with State this year. But don't teams in the NFL playoffs that haven't made the playoffs forever always lose that first game back?
Yeah, we call them virgins, you know, playoff virgins. They really struggle, per se, in that first game, if you will, because of the lack of experience. And you've got that here in the Buffalo Bills, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles hasn't been here either
They both fall into this. Two quarterbacks that haven't played in the playoffs and two franchises that haven't been in the playoffs in a long time.
So you can negate the quarterback play from that side of the coin, from that part of the handicap. What you've got here in Jacksonville, comparing these two teams in a scale, is you've got a team that plays ferocious defense. They've held seven opponents to season low or second low yards this year, and they're also home in the playoffs of back-to-back losses. This is a monster number for teams. They're 14-3 straight up and against the spread. Are teams like Jacksonville in this particular role. You mentioned Buffalo, first time in 17 years for the playoffs. The champagne's popping because of that fourth tiebreaker that they won. They edged out the Chargers. I still don't know how they edged out the Chargers, but they're here. Nonetheless, kudos to the Bills. And they've also had great success at Jacksonville. Last six games at Jacksonville, they've won four of them straight up, beat the spread five times. The negative for Buffalo is it's their third in a row on the road. And teams who do that in the playoffs just absolutely suck wind. 9-35 straight up with only 13 point spread covers. So it's kind of hard to swallow Buffalo in this particular role. And I look at the stats in that midweek alert you talked about. You look at Buffalo, they're being out-yarded 51 yards a game this season here. On the other side, you're looking at Jacksonville, who powders their opponents. They win the stats over 80 yards a game. So you got a big statistical side to Jacksonville. And this third in a row on the road for Buffalo, I think that's what bites them in the end.
Dave Malinsky brought up a good point suggesting that Buffalo should have stayed in Florida this week. Do you agree with that?
It probably would have been a good idea. I mean, you know, the travel factor, get used, accustomed to
some
to the
fans
conditions.
Did, Mark. It's pretty funny. Some of those fans that celebrated, they actually stayed. They're like, wow, we might as well, why go back to Buffalo? We'll just stay in Florida for the week. Even though it snowed in Jacksonville yesterday, which
I'll
think,
say they're freezing their ass off there right now.
That's a good sign for the Bills. That's like a sign from God.
Yeah, it's gonna feel like hey, this is warm to us. It's cold to Jacksonville is what it'll be, but it'll warm up before the weekend. Believe me, yeah. We're supposed to have nice weather this weekend.
All right, so New Orleans and Carolina. This is a tricky one, only because, and I've said this, and I mean this with all due respect to my ex-girlfriend, but Cam Newton's moodier than she is. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? Sometimes she was in a really good mood and it was, you know, things were good, and sometimes she wasn't. And that's the way it is with Cam Newton. Sometimes Carolina look like that Super Bowl contender that can beat anybody in the league. And then other times they just sort of look lethargic. There's not a sense of urgency with them. Tough game, but I think people are kind of sleeping on him. And I expect Cam Newton to start running people over and be more aggressive now that it's in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's a bipolar Superman. There's no question about that, because he can stink up the joint or he can be the best player on the field when he's on his game. And I do like their chances here. This is the one dog that I really do like of all the four games here. They got number one, double revenge. New Orleans took this team out twice this year. And here's a great stat for you. I don't even think I put this in the playbook, but teams that are playing with same season double revenge in the playoffs, that means they're a division opponent, obviously, okay? If they're taking on a team that's off a loss and a no cover, which in this role New Orleans is, they're 11-2 to the spread in the playoffs. That's the role for the Carolina Panthers in this particular football game. But you look at the way these two teams come into this game, neither one is hitting on all cylinders at all. You look at the Saints, they're just 3-3 their last six football games. You look at Carolina, yeah, they've won seven of the last nine, but they've been out-yarded five of the last six. That means that Cam Newton's not playing well on the field like you just said here. So you got pluses and minuses both ways. But put a gun to my head, I do like the double revenge here with the Carolina Panthers.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Mark, we've got about 1 minute left. Your thoughts on an all-SEC championship game?
Well, first of all, I think it's a travesty that it is an all-SEC championship game from this standpoint. If Alabama wins this thing, Gabe, they finished third in their league. They didn't even play in the conference championship. That's ridiculous, okay, to only have four teams and let one of them get in like they are doing here right now. But in Georgia, you've got Kirby Smart, who I think is the best under-the-radar coach in all of college football. He's been with Nick Saban a long time. He was with him at LSU. He was with him at the Miami Dolphins. He was with him at Alabama. Nobody knows Nick Saban better than does Kirby Smart. And I know the number on Alabama. Nick Saban against his former teams, he eats them up. He chews them out. He spits them up, 11-0 straight up, 9-2 to the spread. But Kirby Smart has been terrific in the role of an underdog. And the harder the opponent, the better he is. Four games in his career against 900 better opponents, Kirby Smart wins three of them and beats the spread every time.
Sounds like Mark thinks it would be smart to ride the dogs in their backyard. But for more information about that, you can follow Mark Lawrence on Twitter, at Mark Lawrence. You can find him over at playbook.com, writes for various websites. But go to the headquarters, playbook.com, get it on your mobile device as well, right up on the championship game with a ton of numbers there as well. Excellent stuff, as always, Mark. Made me a hell of a lot smarter. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Happy New Year, Mark.
My pleasure, as always, Gabe. Be good. Let's hope the ball bounces our way.
There's Mark Lawrence, except, yeah, I'm on a lot of the other. I need the balls to bounce the other way than you. It's like, you know, my sayings, may the winners be yours. May the winners be mine. Mine. It's our time now, man. Game time decision continues.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's shake it up and talk some basketball, though I think Pete Annapolis is pulling for the Bills this week. Who isn't? Right, Pete?
Absolutely.
Forget about Tom Brady. We're going to beat the Jags, then we're going to break Tom Brady's leg and advance to the AFC Conference Championship game.
Hey, man. My Cowboys are out, so let's go Bills, man. Jim Kelly, Sermon Thomas. Let's go, baby.
Shooter McGavin. All right, let's talk some basketball. The Bills return to the playoffs. Isaiah Thomas returns to the NBA, and good for him, man. You know, guy's been through a lot. He was unwanted in Boston, loses his sister, plays his heart out for these guys, and Danny Ainge, Danny Ainge discards him basically like a fantasy player would. And so he returns 17 points, 3 assists in 19 minutes. And you look at the Cavaliers. You know, they lose Kyrie Irving. They don't really get anything back in exchange for him, and they're still a dangerous as hell team. Now you throw Isaiah Thomas in. It's interesting because LeBron didn't like the way that Kyrie played. But you know as well as I do, this stuff becomes personal. And if you don't like the guy, then you're not going to like the way he plays. But if you like the guy, then you're not going to mind it. So it's funny, in the offseason, I was like, man, LeBron's not going to like Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is more reckless and plays less defense than Kyrie does. But I sort of think LeBron is going to kick back and enjoy the show here. And he really does add a really freaking dangerous dynamic. I mean, the guy's a point-a-minute guy, Pete. There's no denying it. It doesn't matter what team he's on and what league he's in. The guy's going to light it up.
Well, no question. And when you talk about Isaiah Thomas, you talk about a guy that's about 5'8" on a good day. And he's been told his whole life playing basketball that he's never going to make it. He's never going to make college. He goes to the University of Washington, becomes a star there. They tell him he's not going to make the NBA. He's the last pick in the draft, makes the NBA, bounces around, but he ends up in Boston, and he really revitalized that franchise. I mean, he was the heart and soul after Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen left or were traded. And like you mentioned earlier, I have the utmost respect for this individual. He lost his sister. I mean, she passed away. She's gone. And he still decides to play in the playoffs. And people like that, I mean, they have a heart and soul. And I think right now Kyrie has taken over in Boston. They love that championship pedigree that he brings, that closer mentality. And people forgot about Isaiah. But here he is. He's being humble. He's taking it personal with Danny Ainge, no question. He's been in public. He doesn't stop talking about it. But he wants to win a championship, and I think that's how he's going to get back at Danny Ainge. By winning a championship, by playing with LeBron and having that chemistry, that symmetry, can he play off the ball? That's going to be the big question.
Yeah.
Will LeBron James allow him to play a little bit of point guard, and will LeBron...
That's the key, and that's what I would do. And if LeBron, and LeBron isn't a selfish basketball player, but at the same point in time, everyone's got to sort of tailor their game around him. That would just be sick. And if I was a coach, like, look, I'm a Raptor fan, that'd be a freaking nightmare, man. If suddenly Isaiah has the ball, LeBron's roaming around everywhere. Imagine if they set LeBron up in the post. You're screwed. Like, you're screwed. He could back you up and dunk you. He'd get fouled. It would be an interesting dynamic. And that's what I'm saying. It's interesting from a basketball standpoint. Now, I hope they don't play each other in the playoffs because it probably means the Raptors got bounced. But without being stated, listen, Isaiah Thomas is not playing tonight. The Celtics are 3-point favorites in this game. The Cavs played last night, but the Cavs actually aren't bad on back-to-back spots. And this is going to be so intense if they play each other in the playoffs, man. Because of the Danny Ainge, Isaiah stuff, because of Kyrie and LeBron, and the fact that LeBron doesn't really like Boston to begin with. He doesn't like Boston. He plays well. He doesn't like the city of Boston. He doesn't like the Boston fans. He doesn't like the Celtics. He just doesn't. And he doesn't like the Knicks. He just doesn't seem to like those two teams very much.
Yeah, no, LeBron really played his best basketball against them. And remember, that was his biggest rivals, right? Boston, Pierce, and Garnett. And remember that game five when Boston steals the game. They come game six facing elimination. LeBron went for 48 at the Garden. But I think, you know, it's LeBron James, and he's the only one who could decide whether Ty Lue is the head coach, if it's Eric Spoelstra. It's his office. And he's going to decide what he wants to do. And that's one of the reasons why Kyrie left. Tyronn Lue was telling him, hey, Kyrie, you know, we got to play faster. And he's like, what do you mean? I don't need to play fast. Well, we need to get those guys involved. And he's like, well, you got to tell that's number 23's job. So you saw that there was that disconnect. But can you imagine? And I've been claiming for this for years. LeBron, get into the post. You're 6'8", 280. You're skilled. Nobody can stop you. Imagine him cutting to the basket, just posting up. But he wants the basketball. He wants to hold on top of the three-point line. And that's the reason, the definitive reason why he's 3-for-8 in the NBA final. If he makes that change, and hopefully Isaiah is part of that recipe where that change will happen, get into the post, cut out without the ball, let Isaiah create a little bit because he has that ability. But again, let's see what happens. But if the Celtics and the Cavaliers play in a playoff matchup, whether it's the 1-2 in the conference final, even in the semifinals, we'll see what happens. I will absolutely love that. That will be tantalizing basketball.
And you got the Raptors. The Raptors are right there. You know, they're not going to get the same love as these two teams, but the Raptors are a dangerous team. But I think they're in a tough spot tonight. They're playing the Bulls tonight. The Raptors are 5.5-point road favorites. The Bulls own them, man. The Bulls beat them like 9, 10, 11 times in a row, whatever it was, literally. The Raptors did beat them twice this year. Already, but this is a different Chicago Bull team right now, and they're not really cooling off, Peter. I mean, people think, you know, it was a little bit of a hot run. I remember it was a big deal. Ooh, they've won 4 in a row, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, they're 13-4 straight up in their last 17 games, the Bulls. So they've won 13 of their last 17 games. This is a real run right now. It's not just a fluke. They're a good team right now. They're 13-2 against the spread. If you bet on them in the last 15 games, you've won 13 times. Like, they're smoking hot right now. And so is DeMar DeRozan, coming off his 52-point drop versus the Bucks. Yet, I think it's going to be a tough spot for the Raptors tonight. Close game. Raptors might win, but I think the Bulls hang around again tonight.
Yeah, no question. The Bulls, ever since they got Nikola Mirotic back, he's been the revelation for that franchise. And let's not forget, him and Bobby Portis get into that fight, you know, and gets his face knocked out, gets broken. They don't speak. They don't communicate. They just play on the court. But both of them have been playing well. But the guy that's really been the turnaround and been the underrated, unheralded hero for this team is Chris Dunn. You know, they acquired him from Minnesota. Everybody talked about Zach LaVine. He hasn't come back. But Chris Dunn has done the job at the point guard position. He could score. He could facilitate. He can get to the free throw line, and he gets everybody involved. So I think here, playing at home, as you mentioned, they play with that confidence. They've lost 2 in a row now, but they really play well against the Bulls. But, hey, I think the Raptors right now, they need to really take advantage of their run. DeRozan's playing outstanding, and I love the fact that he stayed loyal to the franchise. They drafted him. They developed him. They cultivated him. And now we're seeing the success that he's bringing, the maturity. And the Raptors are deep. They play 11 guys, so it could help them on these type of road games or these back-to-backs. But I think that You look at the Raptors. Do you want to finish second, and then you're probably going to play Boston or Cleveland? Or do you want to try and finish first overall and avoid those two teams? So every game counts, whether it's late March or it's early January, Gabe. But you're right. This is going to be a close game, potentially overtime. We've seen these teams play in OT a number of times.
Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS Television, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. We'll talk some college basketball in the upcoming weeks and months with Pete as the tournament approaches. Pete, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Always. Happy New Year to everybody.
There's Pete Yiannopoulos with us, clearly in a hallway somewhere. Tony Cincotta is going to join us. I can't complain, man. I bitch. Last week, I'm like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with people, man. I do Skype hits all the time. I never have a problem. Saturday morning, Montreal, Sean, 2 minutes, like 1 minute four, I'm like, I can't get video. I'm sitting there. And I hung up on them, figuring they're going to figure it out. I'm like, so I hung up, and I sent a message in a Skype saying, bro, no video. I'm calling on the phone. They call me back on Skype like 10 times in a row. So I'm like yelling. I'm like, no freaking video. Then this morning I did a hit with Corey Parson. I guess my phone was had a bad connection. It was really them, though, because I told them, call me back, and it was clear. Yeah, I think my phone was fine. I'm just stating. But nevertheless, thanks for Pete for joining us. It happens to me all the time. All right. Tony Cicada is going to join us next. Tony's usually in the dark, so he'll join us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some NFL DFS with the one and only the Tony Cincotta, who actually I wish I was going to be hanging out with this weekend, and I would be, Tony, but it is my 16th anniversary in this business, and the start of my first radio show was January the 6th in 2002. And every year I do an anniversary show to celebrate another year in the industry and just surviving another year. And this year I'm doing it in Vancouver, British Columbia, Tony. So I'm going to be on the West Coast in the Pacific Northwest. Kind of tough for me to come back to Jacksonville. And it is only a wild card game. Like, you know, if we're in the Super Bowl or something, I'm there. But I tell you, I swear, if I was not in British Columbia, I would be coming down to Jacksonville. I'd fly down. I'd come down like Saturday night, go out with you, get wasted Saturday night, go to the game Sunday, and come home right after the game type thing, you know?
I think there's going to be a few people making the trek from Buffalo.
More than a few.
I remember the first time that when the New England Patriots first made a run, and we were all excited and got all fired up, and we were going to games wherever it took place, because we used to be one of them franchises that could never make the playoffs.
I know. You know that the New England Patriots have won 5 Super Bowls since the Buffalo Bills have been in the playoffs?
That's rough. 17 years, yeah.
You want some? Yeah, you know what's crazy? Though? All of these arrogant young Pat fans, it's like, guys, your 5 Super Bowls have come in the last year. It's like you did exist before that, right? You realize you guys
sucked. We were
horrible.
I got the greatest story ever, Gabe. I was a season ticket holder, right? And one time, this was in the 90s, one time we had 10 season tickets. Me and my brother were the only two that would go to the Rams game in December. We had 2 wins. They had 3 wins. So we took the 8 extra tickets. We put them on the windshield of the car so anyone could have them coming in. We came out, there were 12 tickets on the windshield.
People put more on top.
Yeah,
they're like, God, this is where people put
they were.
That's hilarious. All right, so let's jump in here. So the weather in Jacksonville, not great this week right now, but it is gonna warm up a little bit before the game.
62.
Yeah, so a couple of crazy facts, though, Tony. Since number one song when the Buffalo Bills were in the playoffs?
Stairway to Heaven.
Living La Vida Loca. Living La Vida Loca. Remember that one?
Yeah, it really was.
Ricky Martin. That was the one.
Oh, my God.
Think about this. George Bush had just stolen the election with the crooked Chads. Wasn't sworn in yet. You know, because it was a wild card, right? It was against the Titans. So he was just about. So technically, Bill Clinton was the president.
Wow, that's crazy. That's
AOL,
crazy.
Tony. AOL was the only email service in America.
And guess who still has AOL? Tony Cincotta.
No way.
And Lou Mayone, the two of us.
You still have an AOL account, huh?
Yeah, myself and Lou.
That's amazing. Yeah, so this is the first time ever that the Bills in the playoffs have been talked about on Facebook or Twitter.
Wow, that's true.
Yeah, Facebook was only created in 2004. One quick crazy note I saw. Today's actually on this day in history, 2009, was the first time that Bitcoin was used commercially. So a guy ordered two Papa John's pizzas, Tony. It cost him 10,000 bitcoins, okay? It was $41. So his two pizza order special was $41 for Papa John's. Papa John's was the first one to accept Bitcoin. It cost him 10,000 bitcoins. Those two pizzas today, Tony, you know what they're worth?
23 bitcoins.
$150 million.
Oh, boy. Jesus.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Two Papa John's
crazy.
Pizzas, $150 million bucks.
You know, it's crazy. A lot of the sports books want to pay you by Bitcoin.
I hate it.
It goes up and down all the time.
No, it's a piss off. All right, we're shooting the crap too much here. We'll get to some DFS. At quarterbacks, Jared Goff, 6,700. Newton, 65. Brees, 64. Smith, 63. Ryan, 61. Bortles, 6,000. Mariota, 55. Taylor, 47. Let's go rapid fire. QP, who do you like?
I like Alex Smith taking the Tennessee secondary. That's been absolutely abysmal the second half of the season. You look at Alex Smith, played good at the end of the season. Tyreek Hill, they don't have a guy that will cover him. I think Alex Smith is the guy to go. And then the second guy I got is Jared Goff. Everybody likes that Atlanta team and thinks they have a chance to go in. The bottom line is they allow the 25th most points to quarterbacks. The Atlanta roster doesn't get to the pass rusher like they did last season. The defense is taking a step back. Everybody points to the offense. The offense is right around the points scored last year. The defense in Atlanta is where they're not the same.
I don't want to scare you, but out of all the quarterbacks, I took Alex Smith. So that should scare you. Running back, how do you not have Todd Gurley? The guy is best player in the NFL right now.
So yeah, not, the only problem with Todd Gurley is he's 1,100 more than the next guy.
So what about if you had Kamara and Gurley in here somehow, and maybe you squeeze in a Kelvin Benjamin at 3,500? What are you doing with the running backs?
I'm going to go Leonard Fournette. I know he hasn't played well
as of recently.
But the Buffalo defense, even though they're 29th against the rush, they're actually worse than that since they let go of Marcelo Darius. And I think that they're going to try to run it down the throat of these guys. And Fournette's price has been reduced because of the lackluster play, because of the injury. So I'm going to take a shot with a guy like Leonard Fournette, and I like Alvin Kamara. People look at Carolina Panthers. Remember, they're the top two teams against running backs in the league, but the two guys ran all over them last time they played. Kamara and Ingram both ran all over them.
My deal is with Fournette is he's only topped 69 yards twice in the last 7 weeks. He had a nice game against Seattle, but I tell you, Tony, there's a lot of 2.4 yards per average, and I think the kid's hit the wall a little bit. He never played a full season of football in the SEC. He struggled to get through this year right now, and it looks like to me like he's running out of gas, but clearly they're going to give this guy the rock 22 times here.
You know, you look at Mark, it's so funny. We talk about fantasy football all the time, and a lot of times we get these guys that average less than 4 yards a carry. But if you get the ball,
volume. You're right.
The volume. It's all about opportunity.
Yeah, great point. All right, so do you swing for the fences with anyone? Maybe how about a Tevin Coleman flying under the radar here? You know, Rams give up 4.7 a clip. I think the Falcons are going to try to keep that Ram offense off the field and run with Freeman and squeeze Coleman in here. And I know this is, you know, tournament type stuff. You know, you're swinging for the fences. But what about Marcus Murphy here, throwing him in here? If McCoy gets hurt and this kid pops a big run or two.
Yeah, well, I would try to get some insight there. If he is going to start and McCoy's not going to play at all, doesn't dress, you absolutely have to put him.
You have to at least put him in the flex because you get a starting running back at that price. You absolutely have to do that.
What about the tight end position? You know, I was sort of looking at Olsen. He's 5K. Austin Hooper caught my attention at 2,900, Tony.
Yeah, that's exactly. If you're going cheap at
pretty
tight
cheap,
end.
Pretty cheap, huh, for a guy that's going to catch three, four balls?
Yeah, and they're 20th in the league at defending the tight end. So I think the chalk, of course, is Travis Kelce, but he's 7,100 bucks. Greg Olsen's 2,100 less. I would go with Greg Olsen or Delanie Walker. If I couldn't fit them in, I'm dropping down Austin Hooper.
Yeah, Austin Hooper. All right, so do you have any other cheap guys here? I'll throw a couple of guys that I think could have a good game here that aren't being talked about. I think Mohamed Sanu's in line. I mean, man, the guy gets targeted all the time, Tony. Would it shock you if Sanu scored a touchdown or two in this football game?
It wouldn't shock me at all. The one guy that I'm really leaning on is 4,900 bucks. Is Rishad Matthews. The Kansas City secondary is one of the worst in the league. They gamble a lot. And the one guy that's a consistent in that passing offense is Rishad Matthews at 4,900 bucks. I think that's a good play in a game that might be one of the highest scoring totals of the week. I know the two NFC games have the highest totals,
exactly.
But when I look at Kansas City and Tennessee, I look at these two defensive backs both as less than stellar.
All right, we got less than a minute left. Any interest in the Carolina offense at all, or is it just too unpredictable? And Devin Funchess in here at 5,900.
No, the other one I have interest in is Greg Olsen. I think Christian McCaffrey's a guy you could take a shot with and try for upside, but the only guy I'm playing is Greg Olsen.
You know, this week, though, it's tough. There's going to have to be a chance, right? You're going to have to roll the dice somewhere with somebody, I think. Kelvin Benjamin's 3,500 bucks. No one's going to own this guy.
Nobody at all is going to own anyone against that Jacksonville defense as far as wide receivers go. And I think that, you know, the one guy I would go with is Clay.
Yep.
Penchant's there. The tight end Jacksonville hasn't covered as opposed to the wide receiver. So if you wanted to go that way, you want to save a little, Charles Clay would be a guy I'd go.
And I'm thinking contrarian. Buffalo Bill defense, $2,500. Blake Bortles, five interceptions last 2 weeks.
Not a bad play at all. When you want a defense, it's all about turnovers. And if they can get ahead in this game, I think you have an opportunity to make Blake Bortles pass. The wide receiver play in Jacksonville with Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook has fallen off the last couple of weeks. A lot of people blame Blake Bortles. Those two guys are not running pass routes. It's all crazy with that Jacksonville offense. So I like that Bills defense.
The Bills secondary is good, too. You can run on the Bills a bit. But there's Trey White's a serious player, especially for a rookie. We got to get out of here, but I look forward to seeing you guys break down this wild card throughout the week. Check out Tony and Dane, 6 o'clock Eastern, and Tony on the radio at 11 o'clock. Thanks, Tony.
Love the under.
There's which one?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, Jacksonville, under, huh?
Under 39. Go well under. You'll be able to sleep at halftime.
Yeah, Bills win 16-10.
Oh, he's calling a shot. I hope so, because I want the Patriots to play the Bills, to be honest.
Settle down, Sincana. We'll speak next week. We're coming for you. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Tony Sincana. Come back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
What up, everybody? I'm Gabriel Morenci. It's time for our best bets of the day. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Unfortunately, Isaiah Thomas will not be playing in this game. It's Cleveland, it's Boston, but Cleveland don't like Boston. I'm going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers plus the points, even though they played last night. Give me the Cavs plus three. I think LeBron shows up tonight again. Chicago Bulls. I hate betting against my Toronto Raptors, man, but this proves that I'm not a homer, right? Give me the Chicago Bulls plus the 5.5 points. These guys are 13-2 against the spread in their last 15 basketball games. They're 13-4 straight up in their last 17 games. Got to take the Bulls plus the 5.5 points. Utah Jazz, minus 125 on the money line, hosting a Pelicans team that don't win on the road very often. Speaking of not winning very often, the Lakers blow. We'll lay the 6 with Oklahoma City. The game should go over 211 points as well. NHL hockey. Let's take the dog here with the Senators plus 135. We'll lay 50 cents with the New York Rangers against the backup of the Chicago Blackhawks. College ball. Give me Marquette on the road against Providence minus 1. Marquette Providence over 151. And we'll wrap it up with the Kentucky Wildcats minus 2 on the road at LSU. May the winners be yours.